Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for being here with me. There's a million things that you could be doing on a Thursday evening, and yet you are here with me. And for that, I am grateful. So thank you for joining me on tonight. I am excited about the direction of tonight's message, and I am looking forward to hearing what tonight's message is. Amen. A lot of times, I study the Course definitely study to show myself approved. However, there are majority of my shows, I'm not quite, it's like I don't know how God is going to bring it all together. I don't know what he's going to do by his Holy Spirit, but I just get the information. I get the information, and I take the information on top of my life experiences. And between the information and my life experience and the leading of the Holy Spirit, God normally brings forth a powerful message. And I'll tell you, it blesses me. I hope it blesses you. But even if it don't bless you, it blesses me. Hallelujah. And I just praise God that he's willing to talk to his servant. And I pray that he's talking to you all as well as he talks through me, to me and through me during these messages. So again, I'm excited on tonight. And this is not going to be a new subject matter. I know I've taught before on discipline. Last week I was dealing, you know, we were talking about obedience being better than sacrifices. And we got deep into obedience, and tonight we're going to be talking about discipline. But as I was beginning to study about discipline, one of the things I was able to, one of the things that God showed me was that obedience requires discipline. So those two things look a lot alike, and you really... it's difficult to be obedient when you're not disciplined. And so as I was beginning to study and pray, God began to show me, I believe not just that I'm the church, you're the church, we're the church, we're the body of Christ, we're the church. When we go into that building, that's just a building. It's called the church, but it's where the church gathers. It's the building. And we know it in the modern language today as the church, but the reality is we are the church. And so God began to show me in my own life, but not just in my own life, we could see it as we look around, probably in your life. But as we look around in the world around us, and I'm not talking about just the secular people in the world. I'm talking about the Christians in the world, the body of Christ in the world. And as we look around and we read newspaper articles and we look at social media, and what we're finding is that the church is hurting. The church is undisciplined. I'm going to say that again. The church is undisciplined. And because we are undisciplined, we are finding it very difficult being obedient. We're finding it difficult to be obedient. I know I have my moments of disobedience. I have moments where I'm struggling with being obedient. And I mean, if somebody tell you, oh, they don't struggle with being obedient, they just obedient, I praise God for them. That's not my testimony, because I have moments where I struggle with being obedient. And so as I began to pray and seek the Lord and find what is it that he wanted me to share on tonight, what is it that he wanted the listening audience to know on tonight, and again, he said to me, without discipline, it's almost impossible to be obedient. And we see the lack of obedience in the church. We see the fall of leaders in the church. They're falling, and they're not falling because they're disciplined. They're falling because they're not disciplined. And I'm going to get into what the meaning of discipline is. We know what the – I'm going to give you both the Webster Dictionary version. And I'm going to give you a simplistic term, because a lot of times when we could really understand what words mean, and then we could comprehend them, and when you could comprehend what it means, then it's easier for us to do what we understand. Amen? And so discipline of obedience is the practice of our pure loyalty to our Lord, to go all out in faith. It helps us to focus on him and what he has done for us, so we change from the inside out. I got to go back to that, because this is important. It says the discipline of obedience is the practice of our pure loyalty to the Lord, to go all out, meaning go 100% faith. It helps us focus on God and what he has done for us, so we will remember what he's done in the past. So if he did it for us then, we have faith that he'll do it for us now. So it helps us to focus on him and what he's done for us so we change from the inside out. Our inward renovation becomes Christ-like to undergo his will, mind, and precepts. To undergo his will, mind, and precepts. Obedience means having perfect confidence in Christ, so we daily present ourselves to God as our Lord. So that's a short term, but Webster says that discipline. Now, there oftentimes when we hear the word discipline, the first thing we think is correction, punishment. And discipline does mean punishment, correction. But tonight we're going to focus on discipline as it means by delaying one's self-gratification. We're going to look at discipline on tonight as Webster says, to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control, to bring under control. We're going to look at it as bringing under control more so than punishing. We're going to look at it to impose order upon, delaying one's self-gratification. So that's how we're going to be using discipline on tonight. We're going to be looking at it as us bringing this flesh, bringing our thoughts, disciplining ourselves, being under self-control. Amen? And discipline is used to elicit obedience to a rule. It doesn't matter if it's you telling yourself or to do something, or someone is demanding or ordering you to do something. It's through discipline that you're able to carry the order out effectively. Amen? So this is what we're dealing with tonight, discipline, delaying one's self-gratification. And as you know, if you look at the world and if you look at all that's been developing over the last half a century or last 50 years is all I could speak about, because I can't go beyond 50 years because I wouldn't know. But if you look at it, and I can only imagine through other stories and things that I read, is we're lacking the discipline. We see the lack of discipline, self-control in our schools. We see the lack of discipline in our children. We see the lack of discipline in ourselves. We see an abundance. Drug use probably has always been going around, but we're seeing more. We're seeing an abundance of drug addictions now. We're seeing an abundance of alcoholism. We're just seeing so much of these things, and they all, if you take the titles off of them, alcohol, drugs, sex, manners, if you take all the titles off it, what it in essence is simply saying is a lack of control. We lack self-control. We lack self-control. We have no discipline. And because we have no discipline, and because we're not taking control of our behavior, control of our thoughts, control of what we say and do, then what we are seeing is disobedience. It's hard for us to line up as believers. It's hard for us to line up under the instructions of Christ, which is the word of God. It's hard for us to align ourselves with that when we're not disciplined, because it requires discipline in order to be obedient. What do you mean, Coach D? Give us a picture of that. Let me give you a picture so you'll have a perception of what I'm saying to you. If God is telling us to pray without ceasing, I'm going to use that, paraphrasing scripture, but if it's important for us to pray, and if we know that everything is dictated through our prayer, and if we know that there are certain things that require prayer and fasting, we know that. That's the word of God. That's not Coach D. So if God is telling us that we need to do this, but we're not doing this, how do we know we're not doing this? We know that we're not doing this effectively because of all what we see is going on around us. And so if we're not doing this, why are we doing this? Because we don't have the discipline, because discipline requires a sacrifice. Discipline requires self-control. Discipline will require me, if I say, hey, I want to have a prayer life, and that's just how he's telling us it's recommended, you know, and I'm not saying I can't call the scripture, and I don't believe it's a scripture, but a lot of people prefer to get up in the morning, the first part of their morning, getting up and just giving God the honor, giving him the praise. You know, a lot of people wake up in the morning and they just simply say thank you. You know, it's not, you know, they may only take 5 minutes, 10 minutes to say thank you. But some of us like to get up in the morning, and that's when we do our prayer time, the first thing in the morning. And we go in and we begin to pray before God, and we begin to give thanksgiving before God. And so I don't know about you, but when I'm disciplined in that area of my life, where I get up every morning at a certain time and I have my time to set aside for God, and I go into prayer and I go into reading of the word, I notice a difference in my life. I notice a different walk. I notice a spirit of obedience. And not only that, I notice that in that discipline, in that obedience, I notice peace. I notice joy. I notice blessings flowing. So when I'm disciplined, which then causes me to be obedient, or I'm obedient because I'm disciplined, I see the blessings of that, because there's blessings in obedience. Amen? There's blessings in obedience. God wants us to be obedient. That's this whole walk. This walk is about, you know, we talk about faith, but you got to be obedient to have faith, because he says without faith it's impossible to please God. But you got to be obedient, because the whole Bible is instruction. It's God's word that's given us instructions how to live our daily lives. Amen? So when we read his word, we got to be obedient to what his word is telling us to be. We got to be not just hearers of his word, but we got to be doers of the word. That's scripture. That's in James, right? So if we're going to be not just hearers of the word, and we got to be doers of the word, we got to be, that's discipline, but we got to be obedient. We got to be disciplined, I'm sorry, to be obedient, amen? So we want to be disciplined. We want to delay self-gratification. There's areas in our lives as believers that require, is mandated, it's important that we're disciplined. And if we're not disciplined, we're going to see it in every area of our walk. And that's what we're seeing in the body right now. We're seeing a lack of discipline. And you see the lack of discipline because you see, and I could go on and on with the sin. Sin is a lack of discipline. Sin is a lack of discipline. People want to be, they want it now. You know, people can't wait to get married, so they want sex now. What's the result of sexual sin? We see so many results. People are not married. They're having sex now. You know, we see disease. STDs, we see pregnancies outside of wedlock, you know, we see fornication and adultery, we see marriages being ruined because of adultery. We see so many things. I'm just using, this is just one thing. It's a lot of other sins, but I'm using something that when I speak it, you can see it. It becomes real. It becomes rhema to you. You can see this. We can see this in the world. Many of us can see that Christians, unmarried Christians, are talking about test driving. I got to have it first. I'm not going to say I do until I get it, because I need to know what it's like. But where in the Bible does it say that? It's discipline, delaying your flesh, because if everything we see that's out of order is because our flesh is taking control. Our flesh is leading and guiding us. Our flesh don't want to be disciplined. Our flesh don't want to hold out. Our flesh don't want to wait. Our flesh wants what it wants when it wants it. When? Now. And our whole walk, our whole Christian walk is about putting that flesh under. The Word of God tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that means our whole battle, our daily battle, is putting down this flesh, dying in this flesh. And not necessarily a physical death, but you should be putting this flesh under. You should be controlling your flesh. Your flesh should not be controlling you. You have no means of controlling your flesh if you're not disciplined. And discipline is something, it takes exercise. We have to exercise to get the discipline. What do you mean? We have to take control of our body. I have to tell my body when I've had enough to eat. Because if I don't, guess what? My body just keeps saying, ooh, Jesus. My body's just going to keep saying, I want more. I want more. Ooh, I got a taste for this. Ooh, I got a taste for that. I want it. I want it. How many of us have went out to eat and the food was good? And after We got halfway through our plate or a quarter of a way through our plate. We were full. Our mind told us, ooh, you full. You know you full. Walk away from the table. Take it to go. Take leftovers, whatever you need to do, but stop. Your body felt good at that point, right? That your body felt good at that point. You didn't feel sick. You didn't feel bloated. You didn't feel any of that. But that same body that felt good is the same body that came back and said, nah, I ain't leaving none of that. I need to get some more. It's too good. The same body that we let one have it, the same body that we give whatever it say it wants, is the same body that will kill us in the instant. What do you mean, Coach D? Think about it. Have you ever been driving late at night and you're coming from point A, you're trying to get home to point B, and you're driving and all of a sudden you doze off? All of us have experienced that. That same body, you see what? That same body with those temper tantrums that act out, that want what it wants, that has no self-control and no discipline because you ain't disciplining it, will take you out of here. It will have you eating stuff and drinking stuff and doing stuff that you don't need to do. It will put you in the car behind the wheel and fall asleep on you. This body, when it's not disciplined. But guess what? Say what? Yes, we have the ability to discipline our body. We have the ability to discipline our body. And the Word of God is our strength. The Word of God, as we begin to study and we begin to read the Word of God and we begin to understand the Word of God helps us to become disciplined. And as it helps us to become disciplined, we now become obedient to it. We could do what it says we can do because now we're obedient because we are now disciplined. And remember what I said earlier on. Obedience requires discipline. You can't be obedient. It's difficult to be obedient when you're not disciplined. I want to read 1 Corinthians for you here. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians, though I'm moving kind of fast. But 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read it out of the NIV, and we're going to go to chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 25 through 27 because I want you to understand it. It's the same concept, and then we'll get into this. But it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 through 27, NIV. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it. Who's we? You, me, believers, followers of Christ. We do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it, woo, my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I'm going to keep it real and keep it transparent as I study for this. See, when I come in and I give a word and I begin to study and I begin to communicate that to the listening audience as you listen in to Processing the Pain, I am telling you what I'm going through. I'm telling you what God is dealing with me on. And this may not be your story, and that's okay. But I tell you that if you listen, everybody could get something out of it. Because I know I'm not the only one in the world that has issues with being disciplined. I know I'm not the only one in the world that has issues with being obedient. But I know I'm not the only one, and I know that I need Christ. I know that I need to be disciplined. I know that I need to be obedient. And when he deals with me in areas of my life of disobedience, or when he deals with me in areas of my life of being undisciplined, I'm willing and I'm transparent. No matter, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Because why? Because I want to be like Christ. I want to be obedient. And I want to be disciplined. And when I'm out of order, when I'm thinking, and how do we know when we're not disciplined? We know that we're not disciplined because some of us see it in our bodies. What do you mean, Coach D? Because some of us is dealing with weight issues. Some of us is dealing with health issues. Some of us are dealing with depression and stress, and all kind of other stuff. That's our sign. Some people are dealing with alcoholism. Some people are dealing with drug addiction. Some people are dealing with sex addiction. That right there alone tells me that you're not disciplined, that I'm not disciplined. When we see those things in the world, see, we call it sin. It's sin. But sin is saying, I'm not disciplined. I'm not requiring my flesh to do nothing but what it wants to do. And you may not see it. I hear people walking around, and I'm using this as an example. This is not, I want you to hear it from the spirit in which I'm saying it. I've heard people walk around, and they weigh 300-400 pounds, and then they'll say, I don't care what nobody's saying. I'm okay with it. No, you're not okay with this. You're not okay with this. You shouldn't be okay with this. That, I'm not trying to say something to make you feel insecure or nothing, but what I'm saying is not healthy. And it will cause your body to begin to go through other things. It's going to cause your knees to start wearing out quickly. And if you don't get it taken care of by time, in another 10, 20 years, you may not even be able to walk because now your knees have worn out. Your hips may have worn out. Your heart will wear out. It's so many functions that things within our body system that begin to break down because of obesity. Why am I talking this? Because God is telling me, Coach D, you need to get your, when people look at you, and I'm not totally just somebody that's 300-500 pounds, but when people look at people who are dealing with obesity, it speaks undiscipline. It speaks on, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. I know I might be stepping on somebody's toes, but I stepped on mine first. Amen? I stepped on mine first. It says undiscipline. There's no discipline there. And so how it's hard when we as believers, and especially if God is calling you to a ministry, when God is calling you to do something, and you're going to be obedient, you need to be obedient to God. But a lot of times people won't even be, when God told you to go do something, you won't even go do it and you won't be obedient. Why? Because you're not disciplined. Because you're not disciplined and you know you're not disciplined. And so you can't be obedient because you're scared about what other people are going to think or what other people are going to really see. I can't go talk in front of people. I'm too shy. God never gave us a spirit of shyness. Where did that come from? But God said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It says, and I'm reading that from the NIV, but another version said that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. You know, and so, but we're walking around in fear. We're walking around timid. We're walking around powerless. We're walking around, we don't even have self-love. So if you don't have self-love, we can't love anybody else. But love is a command from God to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But if you don't have self-love, it's hard for you to love somebody else because you don't even know what love is. And all of that still comes with not being disciplined. Because when we discipline, we understand. When we discipline and we're obedient, we understand who we are in Christ. Like he said, we're not timid. We got power. All power is within us. We got love, and we got self-discipline. Amen? And then Proverbs 10 tells us, whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Discipline, Proverbs 21:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates, discipline, that's correction. But we're not talking about correction on tonight, so please forgive me. That scripture did not apply to where I want to go on tonight. Yes, it talks about discipline, but I'm not talking about punishment. This message on tonight is not about punishment. This message on tonight is not about shame or blame. This message on tonight is to say, hey, we lack discipline. And because we lack discipline, we are disobedient. And because we are disobedient, we are seeing sin abound. And because we see sin abound, we're looking around our world and the church is ineffective. We're ineffective because it starts at the head. It starts at the head. And if the head ain't disciplined and obedient, then guess what? The body begins. I mean, you know, the people up under you are not going to be obedient. Because guess what? If the pastor is disobedient and he is undisciplined and you're sitting up under him, what does that say? Really? We got people. One of the things that came to mind, I was reading Acts chapter 8 and verses 26 through 40, and it was talking about Philip. It was talking about Philip meeting the Ethiopian, and I read that chapter, you know, several times in my life, but for some reason it meant more to me reading it now. And I was reading about it, and one of the first things came up, my brain kind of shifted a little bit, because I thought, you know, this is amazing. You know, to see back then, and here was this Ethiopian, and that he was reading the Word of God, and Philip heard him, and then Philip sat and read with him. But I was saying all that to say is that Jesus' ministry was 3 years. Count 1, 2, 3. Jesus' ministry was 3 years. In 3 years, he had to train. He had to disciple. He had to mentor his disciples. He had to mentor his disciples in order to get them prepared. He knew what his fate was. He only did 3 years. He knew what his fate was. He knew that he had to come. He knew that he had to go through this crucifixion. He knew that he had to die, be buried, and raised again. And in that 3 years, he also knew that he had 12 disciples that he had to get them trained, because they were going to be the foundation. They were going to be the ones that started the Great Commission. Amen. And the Great Commission, if you don't know what that is, I'm going to let you know on tonight. The Great Commission is Matthew. The Great Commission is Matthew. And chapter 28, and through verses 16 through 20, and I'm just going to read it because I want you to know what it is, and you're going to understand in a minute. Where are you going, Coach D, because you skipped over here? You're going to understand this. You're going to understand. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Remember that, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Why I'm reading that? Because Jesus had 3 years to get them prepared for this day, to send them out under the Great Commission. I'm saying that because we got churches now that people are sitting up and people are going to seminary school. They're going they're going to school, and some people are coming out of school, and then they're going into churches, and some people are sitting in churches for 3, 4, 10, 12 years, and some people want to be used, but they're not being used, and maybe some people can't be used because their actions don't show it, whatever the case may be. The point I'm making is, why is it taking us that long? Why is it taking the body that long to get it together to go out and fulfill the Great Commission? Why are we stuck in churches? Why are we warehousing churches? I'm not talking about churches. I think it's good to have a church, but I'm saying, is church creating discipleship? Are they discipling people? Are they sending them out? Are we just gotten comfortable with going into these buildings week after week, month after month, year after year, that we're going into these buildings, but we're not going out? It only took Jesus 3 years. 3 years is, we're a manifestation of the 3 years that it took Jesus. And if it only took him 3 years, why did it take him 3 years? First of all, he was disciplined. He was disciplined. He was focused. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what he came here to do. He didn't have time to be playing around. He didn't have time to be playing around. He was disciplined. He was focused, and he was obedient to his Father. Disciplined, obedient, and focused. That's what I want to say. Discipline, obedient, and focus. But we up here taking years. Some of us, me too, some of us been, you know, been walking around for 7 years talking about what we're going to do, and still we ain't did what God told us to do. Some of us, God may have said, start a business. How many times? Or write a book. Or whatever the thing is. And we still haven't did it. Why? Because we're undisciplined. We don't want to put in the work. We don't want to have to do. We don't want to have to do what we need to do in order to get it done. Some of us, we ain't disciplined. Why? We ain't disciplined because we don't want to give up. We don't want to give up the stuff that we need to give up. We don't want to give up the ice cream. We don't want to give up the late night reality shows. We don't want to give up. We don't want to sacrifice. So because we're undisciplined, we can't be obedient. Because in order to be obedient, I got to be disciplined to know that, guess what? I can't eat this ice cream. Because if I eat this ice cream, it's going to put the pounds on me. Then I'm going to be tired, or I'm going to deal with some kind of something, and I don't want to do that. Some of us, God said, I need you. You're supposed to be ministering. You're supposed to be a pastor. You're supposed to be a apostle. You're supposed to be doing this. You're supposed to be evangelist. You're supposed to be ministering to people. And you know what? People say, oh, I can't minister. Why? I don't want to minister because I don't want to put down what I'm doing. I don't want to stop having sex outside of marriage. And because I don't want to stop having sex outside of marriage, I can't move in the fullness that God has called me to. Because why? Because I can't do that. Some people really do have a little guilt. You know, I don't want to do that because I know I ain't ready to put down. I ain't ready to put down the blunt. So I don't want to do this. I'm not saying me, but I'm saying there's different reasons. I don't want to move out with my shack. I'm shacking up right now. So I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I know God called me to do this, but, I can't answer the call because I'm not disciplined enough. I don't want to get rid of him. Because if I get rid of him, then I can't do this. I can't pay my bills. If I get rid of her, then I ain't got no safe sex to sleep with every night. Don't want to get married yet. I ain't ready to get married, but I can't do this. So because we don't want to be disciplined, we can't be obedient. And because we can't be obedient, we see the results of it. Each one of us is needed. If you say yes, I am a believer. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. If you're saying that and you've accepted him into your life, then guess what? There's things that he's called you to do. You're part of the body. You're now one of the trillion of molecules, atoms, cells, whatever, fingers, toes, all of that. We part of the body and we matter. Because when one thing is off in the body, it can knock out everything in the body. It can knock. We know that. When your blood sugar is messed up, guess what? Your blood sugar don't just mess up your insulin. The next thing you know, it's messing up your sight. Next thing you know, you could be getting fingers cut off and toes cut off and legs cut off, all kind of stuff. It's a domino effect. And the same way in the body of Christ, each one of us matters. Each one of us matters. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. Heaven forbid. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. And, Father, I rebuke the spirit of judgment. I rebuke the spirit of criticalness. You know, those spirits that want to come around and say, Coach D, look at you. What you doing? I rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. This walk is not easy. But I am calling forth the spirit of encouragement. I am calling forth the spirit that you can do, but I am also calling forth the spirit of discipline. We got to be disciplined. We got to be disciplined because our lack of discipline is not just affecting us. I realize my lack of discipline in certain areas of my life, it ain't just affecting me. It's affecting my obedience to what God's called me to do in certain areas. And then when it affects my obedience, it's affecting the body. Because guess what? The world is looking at us. And the world is looking at all these undisciplined, unobedient Christians. That's what they do. They're looking. And they seeing us run amok. They seeing us broken and running amok and everything else. So each time I'm not, I'm going to talk to Coach D, each time I'm not disciplined and each time I'm not obedient, then guess what? I am hurting my body. My natural body, and somebody could relate to this, I'm hurting my natural body when I'm undisciplined and not obedient, and guess what? I'm hurting the body of Christ. I'm hurting the body of Christ. Because every time, and I'm not saying you got to be dictated to by what others think. Because if you're concerned about what other people think about you, what other people think about you is bondage. It'll have you in bondage. If you ain't careful with that, it'll have you broken down, depressed, and it got some people ready to commit suicide. So these people ain't committing suicide because they just sad. They committing suicide because they got sad about what somebody else think about them. Called bullying. They commit suicide because they're concerned about not being accepted, not having friends, what somebody else think about them. To heck with that, what other people think about it, but what I want to be concerned with is how can I help the body of Christ? Not for Christ's sake, how can I help the body of Christ? How can I bring glory to God? What decisions and choices can I make in my life that can help me be more disciplined, more obedient, so I could bring glory to God and that I could be something that God could be proud of? Time is of essence if you read the word. You better start reading the word. You better start picking up and reading the word. And the reason I say that is because now you can't even trust you can't trust the word that's going forth. It's been diluted and polluted. So you got to read for yourself. You got to have a relationship with God for yourself because it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives revelation of his word. It's the Holy Spirit of God that gives revelation of his word. I had asked the other day, I had presented a question. It wasn't because I didn't know the question, even though everybody answered it. You know, one of the things I learned is that if you ask a question, per se, and it could be, you know, if you ask a question and it sounds like you don't know something, everybody will answer. Now, if I was making a statement, I wouldn't have got any responses at all, but because I was asking the question, and actually the question started off with a rhetorical question, meaning I wasn't really looking for anybody to answer it. I was just presenting a question like, wow, you know, and I'm going to read the question. I want to read it because I want to give you, but it was saying, the question I did, I said, thought-provoking question. If you never repent of your sins, will you be forgiven? Now, I presented that, and it's not like I don't probably think I know the answer, but I had an overwhelming response. I had over 50 comments on this. Everybody had an answer. And ironically, a lot of people's answers were different. You know, some of them were similar, but different. And not only were people just answering the question, even though some of them didn't read the question properly, the answer, but they were answering the question, but people even got real good with it. They began to give scriptures. Well, I'm not going to just answer the question. I'm going to give a scripture. I want her to, you know, we don't want her to go to hell because she don't repent. So anyway, they began to answer, and I began to look at the comments and the scriptures, and everybody was just going on and on and on and on and on. Then it dawned on me that really, you know, that post became an experiment to me. And so what came to my spirit as people began to answer the question was my thoughts were, I believe the only one that can interpret the true heart of a person is God. God is the only one that can interpret our hearts because the word of God tells us that, Proverbs, I think it is that 21 and 2 tells us that every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. So it's only God that knows the true heart of man. And why was I saying that? It's because we've seen all these different interpretations. And because of these different interpretations, and the people were using scripture, you see how it could get confusing? You see how people could be led astray? And so what it began to share with me is that only God knows the heart of people. And if we are not careful and we begin to judge people by what we see on the outside, for example, somebody pigging out, we would look at them and say, they're a glutton. Oh, look at them, just gluttony. But what we didn't know is that person hadn't ate for 2 weeks because they didn't have no food. And this was their first meal. This was their first meal, let's say in 7 days. And they were hungry. And they were thankful just to have food. And so you're not going to use self-control if you haven't ate for 7 days because you chose not to eat, because you couldn't eat. You didn't have the food. But see, somebody that don't know the history, that don't know the story, that don't know the truth, they will automatically assume that this person is just a glutton. Amen? Or let's say you see somebody that is angry and bitter, and you already on the outside, you see that in, they hateful, they're evil. But that's what we see. But what we don't even realize is we don't know the history of what they've been through, so we don't even realize that it's not anger and bitterness that we see, but it's hurt and pain. You see where I'm going with this? So everybody got read the same Bible. A lot of people reading the same Bible, and everybody got different interpretations. And the only true interpretation is what is revealed to us by the Spirit of God, because after all, God is the one who inspired the Bible. Is through his inspiration. So why would you go and read something and not petition or ask for help from the person who inspired it? And God gives us help through his Holy Spirit, which gives us revelation of his word. Amen? So, again, discipline. It takes discipline to do that, because it takes discipline to have a relationship with God. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to pray, to be still and pray. It takes discipline to do what God's told us to do versus what our flesh is telling us to do. It takes discipline for us to know, is it my spirit or is it my flesh? Most of us know. We know when our spirit is talking and when our flesh is talking. Most of us are given to our flesh. We willingly give into our flesh. Because when that flesh says, oh, you know what, you should get that pint of ice cream. The spirit said, nah, Denise, don't do that. You know that's going to have you sick. You know that's going to have you messed up. This is the conversation we have in our head. If we have that kind of conscious conversation, we have the ability to say no. We have the ability to say no. You dating and you having sex outside of marriage, then that means one or two things have taken place here. Either you have just simply said, either you don't know better, and if you don't know better, that means you ain't even in touch with God. You ain't even reading the word if you don't know by now that that's a sin. That's the first thing. Either you don't know better, and if you don't know better, that's because you ain't in the world. You're not even disciplined to be in relationship with God. Or number two, you're undisciplined, and you just don't care. That's not just with sex. That's with tithing. That's with loving your neighbor. That's with not covenant your neighbor's stuff, including their husband or their wife. I mean, that's including so many things. So many things. You know, it ain't just sex. You know, there's more sin to just homosexuality and sex and the lust spirit. But all we hear people talking about the lust. But there's a whole lot more other sins. Those are sins that's obvious for us to see. But what about the lying spirit? Or what about just plain hatred? All of it, undisciplined and disobedient. undisciplined, disobedient. So in saying all what I'm saying tonight, and my hope is for you as a listening audience that's listening in on tonight, is that we will check our own selves. Nobody don't have to check me. Nobody doesn't have to check me because the Holy Spirit checks me. God checks me. I check me. And I do have people in my life that I've given permission to check me, to correct me. I'm not going to, everybody just can't correct me. Sorry, they can't, because a relationship brings a right. So you have to have a relationship with me. I have to know there's an invested interest in my better good. I have to know that you love me, because I believe, and I'm set up to believe, that love is contending for another's highest good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. I need to know you love me. And see, a lot of us is walking around and we trying to tell people what they need to do and what they need to stop doing and how they're not doing this right and how they're not doing that right. Woo, Jesus. And the only thing we have to do is love them. But once they know you love them, then guess what? They're going to hear what you got to say. They're going to listen to what you got to say. But I got to know you love me first. I got to know that you're contending for my highest good. Not in every situation, not just when I'm behaving, but even when I'm, hallelujah, even when I'm misbehaving. You can't just come up to me and love me when I'm in a good space. Are you going to love me when I'm not in a good space? Are you going to love me when I'm in a bad space? Are you going to love me when I'm out there doing wrong? Or are you only going to love me when I'm doing good? Because you got to be able to love me. I got to know you love me regardless. So then when you come to correct me, or you come to tell me, to communicate something with me, I could be able to receive it in love. Because I'm going to say, man, I know this person has my best interest at heart. And because I know they have my best interest at heart, I want to listen to what they have to say. Now, I may still not do it, but I'm going to give it consideration because I trust you. I trust that you love me. Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly you are worthy. Father, I thank you for your patience. I thank you, Lord, that in spite of us, in spite of our being disobedient, in spite of us being undisciplined, and in spite of us not trusting you, Father God, and in spite of us having a failing faith, Lord, that you still love us, that you have not left us nor forsaken us, Father God. And for that I say thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that the word tells us that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we confess them, Father God, and I confess on tonight my sins and my shortcomings, Father God, I know I have sinned and fallen short of your glory, Father. And, Lord, for that I ask for your forgiveness. Father God, I pray not one person on this show on tonight, whether in the audience or through the internet, Father God, walk away from here the same. Father God, I pray that you will challenge us all to come into a spirit of discipline, a spirit of obedience. Lord, that we will be disciplined and obedient to do what you called us to do, which is the Great Commission. Father God, whether everything in the Bible be stripped and the only thing that remains is Genesis and Revelation, it's all about redemption. Something that was once in place, taken out of place, and put back into place. And Father God, I thank you that you've allowed me the gift of salvation, Father. I thank you that you have redeemed me. And I thank you that you've redeemed many of us, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, because of that, I want to be faithful. We want to be faithful, and we want to be willing and obedient vessels to be used by you to So, Lord, I just thank you. I pray that this week for each and every person, Father, will bring forth great testimony of discipline and obedience and blessings, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as we begin to be disciplined and obedient, that we see that our needs, every need is being met according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that as we begin to be disciplined and obedient, Father God, that those things we're believing you for, Father God, will begin to manifest. Father God, that our bodies will begin to line up according to their original purpose, Father God. I thank you that our minds will begin to align up, Father God. I thank you that disease and disorder will begin to fall off in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that finances, Father God, and the struggles of finances, Father God, will begin to increase, Father God. I thank you that those dreams, visions, and ideas that you've given people, those listening in and those who are not, Father God, that those dreams, visions, and ideas will begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for your very presence in our lives, Father God. For we know it's your presence that is the anointing that breaks the yokes, Father God. And we ask him that these yokes are broken, Father God, and that deliverance and healing is here for our receiving when we're disciplined and obedient to receive them. So we just say thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it was a blessing for you. I pray that you got something out of it. It was simplistic in nature. We talked just simply about discipline and obedience. And I just pray, though, that it challenged you within your own self to make sure that you're disciplined. That we're delaying self-gratification, that we just don't let our flesh do whatever it want to do, act the way it want to act, and you know, that we could begin to be productive kingdom citizens, because we got a lot of work. He says that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We got a lot of work. And we can't keep going out there and being diseased. You know, we're bringing to mind, when I think about that scripture that tells us that the harvest is clean, but the laborers are few, it reminds me of my home. I have a corner lot, and my grass, is when I moved here, was so green and lush and beautiful. I have a huge backyard, a nice front yard, and side yard, because I'm a corner. And I mean, the grass is just green and beautiful and everything. And I have a gardener that comes, and they come and they cut the yard and, you know, fix it all up. And I went through a period in the summer where all of a sudden my grass started turning brown. It had brown patches and stuff. And I'm like, what's going on? Because I have an automatic sprinkler system that comes on it. Supposed to come on at certain times of the night and water the grass. And so everybody said, well, it looks like your grass is burning out. It's hot. But I was looking at some of my neighbors, and I'm thinking, okay, the same sun that's shining on my house is the same sun that's shining on their house, so why some of their grasses are still green and beautiful? And it was brought to my attention that if your gardener is not careful and doesn't clean his equipment properly, that he could bring a fungus from somebody else's yard over to your yard. And when I noticed the couple of houses that my gardener does, which is my house and maybe a couple of other houses on my street, I noticed we were the only ones with brown grass. We were the only ones with brown grass. And I pulled them to the side a couple of times. I said, look, I'm going to give you a last chance. I hope I don't have to let you go, but I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed with this grass. This doesn't make any sense. Here I am, the newest person on my block, only being here just a little over a year, and you know, other factors. And I'm like, my gosh, look at my grass. I'm embarrassed. Well, I'm sharing that story for this. I'm sharing that story for this because when I thought about that, I thought about us in the kingdom and thinking about, you know, when God talked about the weakness here, but I was thinking about us in the kingdom. And if you look at all of this as grass, you look at the world as grass, and we're splendors. We're only splendors in the grass. And so I thought about when we're undisciplined and when we're disobedient and we go out into the world, we become like untreated lawnmower. We're bringing fungus. And now we begin to see these where patches should be green, we're starting to see brown patches. Brown patches. And so how do we fix the brown patches? We have to treat it. You know, what he had to do is he had to put some fertilizer on my grass, and then we had some really good rains that came that helped to help that fertilizer. And so my grass is coming back. It's beginning to get its green color again. And that's the same thing with us. If we only just get disciplined, and we get disciplined and get in obedience, we can heal. We can heal. Second Chronicles tell us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek his face, that he will come, and I'm paraphrasing, come and heal our land. So in order for us to humble ourselves and pray, it requires discipline and obedience to turn away from all the nonsense that we got going. Turn away from it, that he will come and heal our land. He will come and heal our land. That's word. That's the word that he watches over. And now we just got to turn around. We get off track, turn around. I ain't saying you won't get off track, but when you get off track, just turn around. Get back in discipline. Get back in obedience. And I'm saying that, and I just pray that I'm challenging those who are listening in that you'll get back in discipline. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in on tonight. If you will follow us Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month, we have Walking in Wellness with Vanessa Scott. I'm excited for some of the guests that she has coming up on her show this first Tuesday of November. And then if you tune in on second Tuesday for He Say, She Say, those Tuesday night shows, so that you don't get confused, Tuesday night shows are at 7, I'm sorry, Tuesday night shows are at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Central time, and 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's the Tuesday night shows. And then again, Thursday is at 7 p.m. So Thursday night show is an hour later than the Tuesday night show. Again, I want to thank you for your continual support. Thank you for tuning in. And I look forward to being with you all next week. Have a blessed weekend. Many times.